Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Anna's Journey. I am the show's host, Anna Renault, and I always invite listeners to look at my website, www.annarenault.com, to find out more about me, about the radio show, about the books I've written, and a way to contact me if you would like further contact. I also remind listeners that the shows are recorded, so the link is available 24/7 for replay once the live show has ended. And I thank you for sharing the link with family, friends, and neighbors, and anyone that you really think might be interested or really need to know about all of this wealth management that Laura Johnson is going to be sharing with us. It's now September. Welcome, September 1. I can't believe it feels like summer has definitely ended, even though, according to the calendar, it is still summertime. Of course, yesterday here in Baltimore, it started out at 65 degrees when I woke up, and it was 85 degrees in the afternoon. So schools, of course, are going to open. Will it get hot again next week? It's hard to say. Hopefully everyone's enjoying the Maryland State Fair. It is Labor Day weekend, and hopefully people are enjoying the last hurrah of the holiday weekend. I want to give a big shout out to the September Airtime sponsor, and that's Ginny Robertson, LLC, and that's JinnyRobertson.com. Ginny strives to give women a place, a safe place, where they can discover and explore their gifts, experiment with self and ideas, create community, and help others achieve a self-defined success. Ginny has been planning for a fall conference. I've announced it on several shows that it would be the end of October, and I did get an alert that the conference has been postponed to spring, and there were a number of reasons. Fortunately, they were all just timing and getting speakers and things like that. No one's ill, no one's in trouble, nobody's having difficulties other than just putting things in place. So the On Purpose Woman Community Conference number 6 has been postponed until spring of 2018. But please, take a look at JinnyRobertson.com. She has face-to-face meetings here in Maryland and Virginia. They are organizing a group for North Carolina and possibly Florida. She is definitely expanding. She also publishes the On Purpose Woman magazine, and getting that new issue out was another reason for the conference delay, I believe. So check out Ginny Robertson, LLC. She would love to hear from women literally around the world. There's a Facebook page for the global On Purpose Woman community. I'm also giving a big shout out this month to the American Red Cross. Most people are aware that the East Coast of Texas has been hit so hard by Hurricane Harvey, and people are wondering what they can do in terms of donating. Certainly money is appreciated. If you're going to give items, make sure you check with the American Red Cross to see what it is they need. Certainly baby items is top of the list, and clean drinking water. However, blood is also always needed, especially in these emergencies. All of their blood donations that were set up for the last 2 weeks have not taken place. Everything that's been set up in terms of blood donation this coming week have also been postponed. So they certainly need the donation of blood. If that's something you're physically able and something you're interested in doing, please contact the American Red Cross. Their website is www.redcrossblood.org. There are lots of information on there about who's eligible to donate, how to donate, and, of course, the benefits of donating. So keep that in mind if you're interested in a different way of helping. All right, let me click a few buttons here, and let's bring our guest on the air. Laura Johnson has been with us twice in the month of August, and she's with us again this morning to kick off September 1st. Hello, Laura. How are you today?
Good morning, Anna. I'm wonderful. Thank you.
Good. We're glad to hear that because things have just been a little bit crazy around here these days with the weather changing 20 and 30 degrees. I mean, when I left home yesterday morning, I was in a coat and it was 85 degrees when I came home yesterday afternoon. I mean, it's just, you know, you wonder what's going on. However, I have to admit the East Coast of America was fortunate. Hurricane Irma has made a southern turn, and it looks like she's going to hit South America. Sorry, folks, but I'm glad she's not going to hit North Carolina. Now, in August, we certainly talked about helping to manage the money in our pocket in a couple of different ways. And today, you had given me a list of a couple of things about life insurance and credit cards and stocks and all kinds of great information. So you want to tell people just a little bit about yourself in case they didn't listen in August, and then we'll jump into the questions you provided.
Sure thing. So my name is Laura Johnson. I'm the owner of Hummingbird Wealth Management. Hummingbird Wealth Management was created 4.5 years ago after I spent 27 years in a bank doing essentially the same thing that I do independently through Hummingbird now. And we really just focus on building relationships with our clients, finding out where they've been financially and emotionally and physically, where they are right now in those same arenas, and where it is they hope to be. What are their dreams for the future? And then we take a look at your finances and your insurance plan, your estate plan, you know, anything that may impact what's going on now or in the future, and make sure they're all in alignment with your personal goals and to ensure that there's some kind of plan, if they're not in alignment, to fix that alignment. That's essentially what we do at Hummingbird Wealth Management.
And that's a big deal because I think a lot of people take a lot of things just assuming that they're all going to work out somehow. And there is no magic pill. This does take time. It does take effort. And you do need to focus on what money you have and what does it do for you. I can still remember a friend of mine saying, you know, is your money working for you? And I'm thinking, what are you talking about? Is my money working for me? I work for my money. And then I got a lesson in what your money can do for you. And I fortunately, hopefully, passed some of that on to my granddaughter. And the first lesson was gaining interest on her little savings account when she was way back in school. There are some important little things that we need to think about. So the list that you gave me starts with, do I really need life insurance? I know when people are tight on money, that's often one of the first payments they stop making. You want to talk about life insurance?
Sure. I mean, everybody is in a different phase of life and has different needs, both financially and family-based and along those lines. So the answer to that question really is it depends. You know, when I'm speaking to a young couple who's just in that phase of building their wealth and building their family and building their assets, you know, I asked them, so if one of you were to unfortunately pass away, you know, get hit by that proverbial bus, what kind of financial position would it leave the remaining spouse in that situation? And what kind of impact financially would that have? And I'm able to guide them a little bit on that. And typically in situations like that, you know, something like a term life insurance policy is going to be in that couple's best interest. Then we go to the flip side of things, you know, a couple in their 70s and 80s, you know, or, you know, late 60s, 70s, do I need life insurance? And a lot of people would say, oh, no, you know, by this stage in my life, you know, we've paid everything off. We're living off of Social Security. We're living off of, you know, our pension if we have one or a retirement plan. Do I really need life insurance? Well, again, I can't answer an absolute yes or no. It really depends on that person's situation. But just to give you an example of someone in that particular age band that might want to consider life insurance, first off, a lot of people in their 70s still have a mortgage. And so you have to ask yourself, well, if I could at least have a life insurance policy that could pay off those that mortgage or any final debts, would that better the remaining spouse? And most of the time the answer is yes. It's just whether or not that person at the age of 70 is insurable. The other situation where I see insurance playing a very good role for people beyond the age of 70 and a half, which is according to the IRS, when you're supposed to start withdrawing from your retirement plan, is a lot of people who are receiving the required minimum distributions at that age don't need it. And then that's a good situation to be in. Well, I've been able to show those people how they can take a portion of their required minimum distribution and buy a life insurance plan. A lot of people go, well, why would you do that? Well, if I have somebody who's getting, let's say, $4,000 a year in required minimum distributions, and we take $2,000 of it and buy a life insurance policy, that $2,000 a year could purchase, let's say, depending on the client, could purchase a $150,000 life insurance policy. Well, there's no way I can make $2,000 turn into $150,000 for a 70-year-old client just investing it. But if you buy a life insurance policy, it's now putting more money that is not taxable into your state for your heirs to be able to, again, pay off debt, pay for your final arrangements, possibly donate to charity, whatever it is that you need to do. But it's making things a little simpler when you pass away. But life insurance is not as easy to assess and say, yes, I need it, or no, I don't, in a lot of different situations. And that's where we can be very helpful.
And that's really good information, because I am willing to bet most people who just heard that had no idea that there is that difference, especially in terms of age groups. I know it was a difficult conversation that I had with my granddaughter and her husband in 2015 when I got my new cancer diagnosis. We didn't think I was going to see the end of the year. I had prepaid my funeral all the way back in 2005, actually, because of another cancer diagnosis. And I said, you know, you don't have to worry about the life insurance in terms of paying for my funeral. It's paid for. However, you also co-own the house with me. We split our bills. Can you afford to inherit this house, keep the house, without me paying half of everything? You know, my life insurance policy will take care of that. And then, yes, you can afford to inherit the house. But you need to know these things. And, of course, like you said, any outstanding debts. Hopefully my car will be paid off. But I have a loan for a solar panel. There are a couple $1,000s that I owe on the solar panel. There are things like that that we just tend to overlook sometimes. And it can throw the person left behind, especially if you're an elderly 70-year-old spouse, in financial difficulties for a long time. And do you really want to do that? So life insurance can be really, and that, again, these leftover debts leads right into the next question about credit card debt. I paid my credit cards off when I retired. I swore up and down that I would not let myself get into that kind of debt again. Knock on wood. I've been good. I've stuck to that. Yes, I have a little bit, but it's not even four figures. So I think I'm in really good shape when it comes to my credit card. But most people, they have that piece of plastic and they swipe it and buy. Can you talk about credit card debt a little bit?
Sure. So, I mean, credit cards, for some people, are a necessary evil. And I'll use myself and my husband as a prime example. Our income ebbs and flows, or not as much anymore, but it did in the beginning, quite a bit. And the reason for that ebb and flow is that we're both business owners. And so, you know, we'll have months where we have more than enough to pay the bills and some months where we didn't. And so there are times when, even as a financial advisor, I tell people it's okay to use credit cards, but that's where you have to have a plan. You know, if you're going to utilize a credit card, what is your plan for paying that off? Unfortunately, you know, credit cards can have interest rates, introductory interest rates of 2.9% on up to 22%. And if you are only paying the minimum payment on your credit card bill on a monthly basis, what ends up happening is that purchase or those purchases that you made could end up being three times as much as what you paid for them. And so it's like, okay, how am I ever going to get out of that? So my first piece of advice is, if you're going to use credit cards, use them for things that you have got to have. So as an example, I just had to put new tires on my vehicle. I have enough money put aside in my savings account, but I use my credit card because I can get points for my hotels. So when the bill comes in next month, I'm going to pull the money out of my savings account to pay for those tires I purchased. Some people, though, are not as fortunate to have saved enough money for $1,000 worth of tires. So then, again, what I say is, okay, whatever you put on that credit card, have a plan. Whether that plan is to make enough payments to have it paid off in 3 months, 6 months, 12 months. The next piece of advice I'd give is, a lot of times we see people use their credit cards for what I want, not what I need. And so I came up with the sticky rule. So everybody has those little sticky notes somewhere in their office or in their home. And so you go somewhere and you go shopping, and I do recommend keeping sticky notes in your purse. You go somewhere and you go shopping and you go, oh, how nice would it be to have that great big screen TV over top the fireplace so we can watch the football game. Football season is upon us, right? And that great big screen TV, I have enough credit left on my credit card to purchase that. Write it down on a sticky note, stick it on your refrigerator for 30 days. And if at the end of that 30 days you say, okay, I still want that television, then go ahead and purchase it, but purchase it with a plan. 99% of the time you're going to say, you know what, I'm so glad I didn't purchase that big screen TV, because in the last 30 days since I thought I wanted that TV, something else has come up that I need that money for. And so having some kind of restraint system built in. The last thing I would say about credit cards is that a lot of times I will meet with someone who hasn't talked to me before they use their credit cards. And so they've accumulated three or four credit cards with, you know, fairly high balances and fairly high interest rates. And they tell me I'm paying more than the minimum payment on every credit card, but I can't seem to make headway. And this is very common because they keep hearing, don't make the minimum payment. The issue is that you're putting, let's say you have four credit cards that have all $100 minimum payments on them, and you've decided you're going to double that. You're now making $200 payments on each credit card. Well, not each credit card, A, has the same balance, or B, has the same interest rate. So what I advise people to do is look at each credit card. If you have three credit cards that are over $4,000 balances, but you have one credit card that's just $600, as an example, let's pay that off. So pay the minimums on the three larger credit cards, and then put as much as you can on the smaller credit card until it's paid off. The second piece of advice on paying off or paying down credit cards would be then to look at the interest rate. If you've got a credit card that has an interest rate of 8%, another one with 12, and another one with, well, let's focus our energies around paying the extra payments to the highest interest rate credit card because it's charging you the most. And then just pay the minimums to the other two. As you pay down credit cards, you're going to shift those payments to the other credit cards. It's a little hard to explain without putting it on a piece of paper or an Excel spreadsheet sometimes. So hopefully your listeners are understanding this. But it's just, again, going back, and I think this has been a consistent theme in our calls, in having a plan and understanding your plan, but also reevaluating your plan and not assuming that what you're doing is always going to be the right answer.
And the other big thing, show one, show two, show three, is really to sit down with a financial planner who knows all these little details. Because most of us have never had any real financial training. High school requires a half of a year for economics and public issues. I taught that class for 5 years. I know other teachers who teach that class. There is a lot of emphasis on public issues. Are we still in Korea? Will we go to war with Korea, especially now with President Trump's threats? You know, lots of public issues. Very little on the economic side. In Maryland, the curriculum for the economic side is, gee, once upon a time we traded. We had coin money, then we had paper money. Do we really need to know that whole history of how money developed? Or do we need to know about interest? Interest we pay, interest we earn, taxes. You got a paycheck. I know I was teaching 12th graders. They figured they were going to get a job at $10 an hour, work 40 hours. They were going to come home with $400. And I said, no, you're not. You're going to pay taxes. You're going to pay state taxes and federal taxes and whatever other deductions that, you know, your health insurance, whatever, your retirement plans are all going to come out of that check before you get that money. And maybe you'll come home with $300. Well, they had a fit. That's robbery. They can't do that, you know. But that's the law, and we need to know that. So talking about credit card debt, when my granddaughter became my co-owner of the house, she owed a couple $1,000s on her car at 21% from the car place that sold her the car. We got a new mortgage under 5%. And I said, roll that car loan into the mortgage and pay the car off. Stop paying 21% interest on that loan. Now, when you make the mortgage payment, think about part of that money as your car payment. And you're only paying 5%. Actually, it was 7.5% or something. But why pay 21%? I mean, you know, get that interest debt off your back. I often tease her, the first year that she helped pay for the house really was paying off the car. But it saved her so much money, and it really gave her a good lesson in credit card debt and interest debt. It's a big deal. And like you said, when you're paying that extra, thinking that you're doing the right thing, are you paying off the right one first? The smallest one, the highest interest one. You really need to know these little details. Now, let's just shift, because I don't want us to run out of time. We have so many good things to talk about. Stocks, mutual funds, bonds, all those interesting things that, again, they don't necessarily teach you much about in high school economics. Where do you want to go from there with that?
So, yeah, I mean, a lot of people are very interested in understanding investments. And then a lot of people, like you mentioned, have never learned and are not quite interested in understanding. And then there's a whole bunch of people in between. And so what I try to do when I'm meeting with my clients is educate them to the extent that they need to be educated. Now, there's a lot of financial advisors out there, and I'm definitely not negative against this, that get very technical with their clients. And I think sometimes you need to. And talking about things like, and excuse me if I bore you for a minute, but talking about things like standard deviation and beta and alpha and, you know, earnings per share and things like that, those are all ways that us as financial advisors are able to evaluate investments and to determine whether or not this is a good investment for a particular client. I think what I really try to allow my clients to walk away from is that there is a level of trust that they're working with me. I'm going to build a portfolio of unlimited investments that are available to help that a portfolio that's particular to them and their needs. And so just on a basic level, I mean, stocks, everybody hears stocks. What is a stock? Well, a stock is when the company needs money that's issuing the stock, and they do an early issue or a new issue to be able to raise that money. Most of the stock you see today is already out there. It's not General Electric, as an example, raising more money. It's this money that's already been raised for General Electric, and now it's in the hands of the investors, and we're all trading it amongst ourselves. So stocks are good. A lot of people aren't comfortable with individual stocks, and so they'll buy mutual funds. And mutual funds, I relate back to, you go grocery shopping, you don't have bags full of apples. What you have in your bag when you go grocery shopping might be some apples, some broccoli, a gallon of milk, some bacon and eggs, and a cube of cheese. So you have a diversified bag of groceries. That's what a mutual fund, simply put, is. It is a diversified bag of stocks or bonds or possibly a combination of both. And again, whether or not you use stocks or mutual funds is really going to be dependent upon who you are as an investor and how your financial advisor works and how they see and interpret the market. Bonds have some similarities to stocks when stocks are new issues, in that they're a way for that company or that municipality to raise money for a specific project. And again, bonds can be issued directly from a company like Coca-Cola to build a new factory. But sometimes a person who's purchased that says, I don't want this anymore. And so just like a stock can be traded amongst the investors, bonds can be traded amongst the investors. So these are real basic concepts and basic ways to look at it. And how I share my knowledge with my clients is really dependent upon where their knowledge level is and where they want their knowledge level to be. I obviously have the knowledge and background to be able to disseminate the information and make the best decisions on behalf of my clients. But when it comes to educating my clients, I have to make sure that I'm giving them the information that they can understand and the information that they need. So hopefully that kind of covers it. It's hard to talk about stocks, bonds, mutual funds, and all that kind of stuff without knowing a specific client. I can't make a generalized statement that, you know, a certain stock
that
is
covers
the best
everybody.
Stock to buy right now.
And, of course,
most recently,
people are afraid of stocks because you hear about the stock market crashing and whatever. We certainly learn in history about the Great Depression when the whole thing went kaplooey in 1929. But more recently in the 2000s, 2008, 2009, when the stock market crashed, if that's what you want to call it, I mean, people lost a lot of money in their stocks. They lost a lot of their interest. They really had some financial difficulties. Mutual funds, to be a little less dangerous in terms of losing everything that you've invested compared to an individual stock. But I think most people are most familiar with savings bonds. Somebody has a baby and they give them a gift of a savings bond. And basically, you go, or at least I have gone, to the bank and you give the bank teller $25 and she hands you a $50 savings bond. Now, that child, that parent of that child, has to hold on to that savings bond while it grows interest and actually earns the face value. If I give you a savings bond I just paid $25 for, you take it to the bank the next day to cash it in, you're probably going to get $25. You're not going to get the $50. And people don't understand that. Again, they just have never learned the value of stocks, mutual funds, and bonds. And it's a big lesson. If you can put that savings bond away and then cash it in 5 years later, 10 years later, it may be worth 50, it may be worth 60. It just depends on the changing interest rates for that particular bond. Now, how does the investments either increase or decrease your taxes? Again, is that when you gain the interest, when you lose the interest? What does it do to your taxes?
So it really, so kind of going back to something else that you said, I think that this is, again, one of the reasons why individuals should, if nothing else, consult a professional. You don't necessarily need to hire the professional to manage your money for you if you want to manage your own money. But consulting a professional for a second opinion and having someone be able to tell you what the risk is inside of your portfolio and how it relates to what is going on and what is anticipated to go on in the market is, I think, worth every dime you would pay somebody to do that. Because what I've found is a lot of people think their portfolio is leaning one way, say conservative, and it's really leaning another way, more aggressive, and they don't realize it because of some of the inherent details that are inside the investment. So, you know, mutual funds in theory can be more conservative because they're a basket of investments. However, the reality is that a lot of times what you don't see, you don't understand. And so there could be some more inherent risk inside of those. So, and I apologize.
And really, when you think
about
it, and when you think about it, Laura, when you use the grocery store analogy, do you have a bag full of apples, oranges, peaches, everything that's going to, you know, deteriorate, rotten, whatever, compared to do you have some canned goods? Do you have some dry cereals? Do you have some things that are not going to just crap out on you at the last minute? And again, you need to understand the difference, because if you happen to be working with a company that used to come to my office, they were the high risk mutual funds. You might have 5, you might have 10 mutual funds, but they were all going to be rotten by the end of the week or the end of the month or whatever, and it was just as dangerous. And, you know, if you didn't learn that, you had all these, you know, deteriorating funds, and you kept thinking, well, I'm getting this report and it's showing a loss, it's showing a loss, it's showing a loss. It's like somebody's making the wrong choices here, you know? And there again, when it comes to my taxes, I didn't have to put down that I made all this interest and made all this profit. But at the same time, that wasn't the plan. The plan was that, yes, I was going to make money, and yes, I was going to have to pay taxes on that money, but that was the goal. And, of course, fortunately, we all complained about the guy that was coming to the office and said, you know, is he stealing our money? What is he doing, you know? And they sent us a new representative and put a lot of smiles on our face. Now, talking about stocks and mutual funds and bonds and credit card debt and all that stuff really plays into how well we can prepare for retirement. Do we have some money sitting there that we have earned that we will then be able to withdraw and help us make ends meet as a retiree? How much is enough for retirement?
So, yeah, great question. And again, it depends. And I, you know, it frustrates me that I can't answer some questions just dead on. Everybody needs $1 million. But when we sit down and analyze it, we don't all make the same amount of money. We don't all spend the same amount of money. We don't have the same lifestyles. So those are things that we need to review in analyzing what is it going to take to retirement. And retirement is so different for people who are planning for it today than those who are actually in retirement today. Some people, most of the clients I work with today who are actually in their retirement are truly retired. They spend their time, you know, piddling around the house, maybe doing a little bit of traveling and visiting with friends. A lot of people who are planning for retirement today plan for a lot of that as well, you know, piddling around the house and doing a little traveling. But a lot of them are looking to change careers and do something completely different with their lives. So they are going to make money, but it's just not going to be in the same field and probably not the same amount of money they were making previously. So, and it's not that everybody makes less. I've seen people go into retirement, change career, and double their income. So it's we have to take a look at all of that. So, again, it's how do you spend your money? How much money have you been making? What kind of lifestyle you have? What's your health like? Because that plays, obviously, a big role in what your expenses may be. And what's your family health history look like? You know, if you've got a family that has a long health history of heart problems, as an example, and there's a likelihood that you could have those same problems, and how could that affect your ability to make money, but also your ability, the money that you're going to spend? And so those are all things that we analyze when we're meeting with a client. I can tell you one formula that I do utilize is that typically most people need to plan to be able to live on 80% of the income they have today. And where I get that from is that we all have Social Security and Medicare tax taken out of our paychecks. The second thing that some of us have, if we're planning appropriately, is our contributions to our retirement plan, whether that be our 401k, our TSP, our 403b, or our IRA. Those two things, those two contributions out of your paycheck will no longer exist once you're retired. You no longer contribute to your 401k and you no longer contribute to Social Security. So that those two things together represent about 20% of your income. So if you're making $100,000, then you should be able to live on $80,000 once you retire. And then from there, we calculate, well, how much do you need to live on $80,000 a year? And then how much does it need to grow? Because obviously, when I started driving, gas was 99 cents a gallon. So now gas is much more than 99 cents a gallon. So we need to be able to deal with the cost of inflation as well. So there's some formulas in there that we can do.
And certainly, Laura, we, like you said, you need to know, what is your plan when you retire? Do you want or need to continue to work part-time, full-time, or can you stay home and piddle around and do nothing and just live on the money that you've saved up? And a lot of people that I know, I've talked to, oh, I'm going to get Social Security. Most people don't realize how low that payment is. So you really need to know or have at least some idea of what your income is going to be. Are you going to be taking cruises or are you going to go to the local campground and sleep in a tent? What are your plans? Do you have these big ticket items? I'm going to go to France. I'm going to see Paris. Or are you going to go down the street and see, you know, Hershey Park? You really need to know how much money you need. Laura, tell people how to get in touch with you.
Sure. And Anna, thank you again for this opportunity. Again, my name is Laura Johnson, and the company is Hummingbird Wealth Management. My website is www.hummingbirdwealth.com, where you'll find all of my contact information, but the best way to reach me is my phone number, which is 240-285-5579, or via my email, which is laura@hummingbirdwealth.com.
That is fantastic. Thank you so much. These have been really good, informative, short and sweet, but very, very helpful, I think. Because, again, you know, high school seniors in Maryland are required to take this half-year course, and they don't learn half or even one-third of what you just gave us in a half hour. It is unbelievable that we really are not teaching the next generation what to do with the money in their pockets. You know, I'm sure, I think, if I had not gotten this new cancer diagnosis with death hanging over my head, probably sooner rather than later, worrying about my granddaughter, worrying about her and her husband inheriting the house, can they afford it? My father built the original house here back in 1953. I would love to see the family, you know, keep the property, keep developing it, you know, all that good stuff. And the fact that she really wanted to be the co-owner of the house, she really likes living here, you know, I would love to see that be able to continue. But if she doesn't know how to handle her money, that won't happen. And we need to do this with our children and our grandchildren because they don't just get it by osmosis. You really need to sit down and you need to talk about these things and you need to have your nice little stories. I love the fact that you teach by stories because that's how people can then comprehend and relate it to their own personal stuff. Yes, when it gets to the stocks and things, it's going to be a little bit boring maybe, but for some people it's also exciting. You know, oh, wow, I have $1,000. I want to invest it, and I'm going to learn all this stuff about stocks and mutual bonds, and I'm going to make my portfolio grow. Even for some young folks to be able to say they have a portfolio is great news because, again, it's just not something we've done a good job as. Certainly when my daughter was in school, even when I was in school, they had even less. I mean, we were lucky we were taught about paycheck and payroll taxes, you know. So I really, really do thank you very much for having three shows, and I look forward to having you come back in 2 weeks and do another show about more stuff about our money in our pocket and what it's doing for us and what we want it to do for us. Thank you so much. I will be talking with you again soon. We have been talking with Laura Johnson from Hummingbird Wealth Management. Please go to her website, check it out, listen to the replay of the show. There was a lot of information that we covered in a very short period of time. I need to say thank you to Robertson, my airtime sponsor. Please look up JinnyRobertson.com. She really strives to give women a safe place to explore their gifts, experiment with ideas, create community, help others, and achieve a self-defined success. Thank you, Jenny Robertson, for all that you've been doing over the past 15, 16, 17 years for women in business. Also, don't forget, if you want to help Hurricane Harvey people in Texas, donate blood, donate money, contact someone like the Red Cross. Don't fall for some of the scams that are already popping up, unfortunately. Make sure what you're donating is needed and it gets to where it needs to go. Thanks a lot for listening to Anna's Journey. I'm Anna Renault. Please check out my website, annarenault.com. Thank you very much. I'll be on the air several times next week. I'll be talking with an author. I'll be talking with Chanel Simmons for Nell's Tax Help, and that really is talking about how the IRS likes to audit people, and some things that you might want to think about or do to change your tax information with the IRS. Thanks a lot. Take care and have a really great day.